Well, again, it is very good to see each of you on this Mother's Day. I think if we come out, I believe you will get a blessing. I've already been blessed by the music and the smiling faces and just seeing everyone. You know, we all say, or we often say, that we all have a mother. Is there anybody here this morning who does not have a mother, either living or passed on? Well, actually, there are a lot of people who do not have mothers. I know that sounds like an extraordinary statement, but it really isn't. The Biden administration this year, or this last year, replaced the word mother in their 2022 budget and all of their other government documents that referred to mother as birthing person. And I must admit, one of the few things I think they've actually gotten right. There are people who are birthing persons. That's not a mother. And this morning I want us to understand, if we can for a little while, what it means to actually have a mother. The role of the mother in the family and with the child is extremely important. And we need to recognize and honor that and understand what a real mother is, and we need to give them the honor and homage that they have coming due to them, and we need to condemn those who are just birthing people, who only seem to lend their bodies for the creation of a child, and then after that's over with, want to have nothing to do with it. I have a client who has started a nonprofit organization called Dad's Lives Matter. And when I first saw that, I thought, that's nonsense. What, you know, it's a play on words, whatever. But his thing is that there are a lot of women who have children by various men and never intend to be a mother. They want the money that they can get out of it. And I didn't really realize that was a thing, but it is. There are a lot of people out there, birthing persons, who make a pretty good living off of the men who have fathered the children and the government and various other groups that pay them because they have this child. That's not a mother. Mothers are very important people, and they're very special, and we need to understand them as such. I titled this sermon, A Place for Mom. Now, if you've seen the advertisements on TV, basically trying to help you get your mother in a retirement center or nursing home, and they're titled A Place for Mom. I often think, well, I guess we just chunk Dad out the back door and we'll have a place for Mom. I don't know if that's the idea or what, but Mom is important. John Gospel, chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his home. May God add to the reading of his scripture. I want us to look for a little while at the attributes of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and understand as best we can motherhood from that example. I always think it's a good idea to look in the Bible to find our examples. And the relationship that Jesus had with his mother is an important one, and it is one we need to recognize. When we talk about mothers, it is important. I don't know that we can overemphasize the impact that they have on our lives. If you look at the studies, and there have been lots of them, practically every mass murderer, every school shooter, every twisted rapist, whatever, if you look into their background, almost universally you will find one trait. They had a very warped relationship with their mother. That's kind of a universal thing. It seems to be that if we don't have that right understanding and relationship with mom, it gets our entire life off to a bad start. And so I want us to look at that a little bit. First of all, the book of Luke, and I'm not going to read it all. You know the narrative. The very first miracle that Jesus did recorded, I'm sorry, I've jumped ahead. The book of Luke, chapter 1, you know the narrative. Mary is finding out that she is going to have a child. And the angel comes to her and says, "Don't be afraid. You're going to have a child, and that child is the Son of God, and he's going to reign in his stead." Mary, the mother of Christ, found out before anyone else on earth that she was going to have the Christ child. And she said, "This is not possible. I'm not married. I don't know a man. I'm not having any relation to the man." And the angel told her, "Don't be afraid. What you're going to have comes from God. It is a holy child." And Mary knew and understood that. And I'm sure, looking back, I'm sure she was frightened. I'm sure she had to be feeling alone. We live in a different society today. I think a lot of young women who find themselves pregnant, going to have, expecting a child, feel very alone and very afraid, etc., etc. In that day and age, it was much worse. If a woman came up with child and was not married, she could be put away and basically would be a servant or would be a slave somewhere. Her life was over. So it was a very, very frightening thing. And we read where Mary and Joseph were engaged or espoused, but they had not come together. In the Hebrew tradition, when you got engaged, there was a very long process. It wasn't like, "Hey, let's get married this evening. We'll run down to the local preacher and get it done. It's over with." In that culture, especially at that time, it went on for a period of months and possibly into years before they actually became a married couple. So that's kind of where they were at. They were engaged. They were going to be married eventually, but they were going through that process. And Mary comes up in a condition with child. Mary, being frightened, though, had faith. Her very first thing is that she believed the angel. She believed God, and she stood on that faith. The very first, I think, trait of a mother, of a real mother and not a birthing person, is the trait of faith. They are people who believe. Fundamentally, they believe. She believed in her child. She believed in who he would be and what he could be. Mary was human, just as each of our mothers were human, are human. I think sometimes we get a little bit carried away with the term mother, and we think, well, mothers can do no wrong, mothers are this and that. Mothers are human just like everyone else. And Mary was a human being just as we are. Mothers can sometimes be a bit ornery. I don't think y'all have experienced that, but I have. My mother knew exactly how to push my buttons like no one else on earth. She had it down to a science. And if she wanted to make my blood boil, she could do it just really, really quickly. She was human. She had a lot of faults. I loved her dearly. And I would imagine that if I went around the room this morning talking to each of you, you probably have a similar experience with your mom. You loved her, but she could probably push your buttons really quickly. She could sometimes make you do things that you didn't want to do. I love the movie A Christmas Story. You know, when the little boy is talking about Christmas, and he said, "My mother labored under the delusion for years that I wanted to be a rabbit or something, you know. Sometimes moms do that. They dress you in crazy clothes and they, you know, want you to act in a way that you really, really don't want to act. They're human, just like all of us. Mary was human. Mary is not to be worshipped. Let me say that again. Mary is not to be worshipped. It does not say anywhere in the Bible that we should hold Mary up as a deity. She was a human being, just like all of us are. Her son was the child of God himself. He was God in the flesh, but that didn't make Mary a God. Mary was a human being. There is a certain amount of that that goes on. Our Catholic friends fascinate or fixate on Mary, and they pray to Mary, and they ask Mary for help, etc., etc. You know, if you look back, and I won't get into this too far, but a bit of a history lesson. In the ancient world, in Egypt, one of the primary gods was named Isis. And when the Egyptians came to Rome and brought with them their gods, Isis became called Sibyl Magna Mater, or the Great Mother, and was extremely popular in Rome before Christianity. When Christianity came along, here is this Son of God who had a mother, and the mother kind of adopted, or the Romans adopted, the idea of Mary being the Great Mother. And so that began. That doesn't make it right, but we can understand how it came along. Mary was a human being, just as human as any other woman. Our mothers also are human. Mary understood Jesus from a very early age better than anyone else. You know, mothers have that ability. They can look at their child and size them up so well, so quickly. I have to tell this story. I've told some of you this. This is a thing about my mother. My mother developed Alzheimer's or dementia late in her life, and I remember so well the last day, the last time she was in my home visiting. We sat at the table drinking coffee and talking. And she looked around my house and she said, "This is Stephen's house." And I said, "Yes, Mother, I know." She said, "He did better than I thought he would." Thanks, Mom. I'll take that as a compliment, right? Mary understood Jesus better than anybody else, as mothers often understand their children better than anyone else. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, the very first miracle Jesus is recorded performing in the Bible, at the wedding in Cana, he turns water into wine, if you recall the narrative. They were having this wedding, and weddings were a big deal in that day. They went 4 days, and as they were having the wedding feast, they ran out of wine. And Mary came to Jesus and said, "They're out of wine." And Jesus said, What's that to me? I've not really entered my ministry yet." And at being a mom, it was like, "Yeah, you can fix this. You know, you can deal with this if you would." She went to the servants and she told them, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." And so reluctantly, he told them, "Fill these jars, these pots, large pots with water." And when they did, it was turned into wine. And the people at the feast drinking it said, "What is this? Usually you serve your best wine first, and then after people have had a few, you serve the stuff that's not as good. This is the best wine." Jesus turned water into wine, and it was real wine. It wasn't grape juice. That's beside the point. His mother knew that he had the ability to do it. She sized him up very quickly, and she knew him. Mothers do that. My mother did, and I would wager that your mother has also. Most people come to believe in Jesus because of the miracles he performed. Jesus was continually raising people that were sick or paralyzed, restoring sight to the blind, doing a lot of it, calming the sea, doing a lot of things, and he did all of those things to help people believe. Mary believed way before he did any miracles. She knew, this is my child, and I believe in him. Moms, you need to believe in your children. If you don't, they will become exactly what you tell them they are. I have seen parents, moms and dads both, that criticize their kids and put them down and say, you know, you're never going to amount to anything. You're this, you're that. And you know what? That's exactly what they do. Moms need to believe in their children. And we as people, and I don't care if you're 5 years old or if you're 90 years old, you need to know that your mother believed in you. Right? That's important to us. That establishes us. A good mother believes in her child before they accomplish anything. And a good mother is like a conscience. We all have a conscience. Well, nearly all of us. I think there are some people that have very little. But a mother is much like a conscience. A real, genuine, good mother is like a conscience. Had a funeral back, I guess, last January or February. I can't, the months run together on me, of a very good friend and a devout Christian woman that I was raised with, kind of a second mother to me. And her son was on the stage talking about her. And he said, whatever I was doing in life, I used my mother as a kind of gauge. If I couldn't explain something I was involved in to Mom, I didn't need to be involved in it. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. Whatever you're doing in life, think about it this way. If I had to sit down with my mother and explain what I'm doing, would I really want to do that? Would I be proud of what I'm doing, or would I be ashamed for Mom to know about what I'm doing? We want our mothers to be proud of us. We want our mothers to be pleased with us. And for that reason, they become our conscience. They need, therefore, very desperately to live lives that we as individuals can look up to and want to emulate. Mary was there when Jesus was tried, tortured, and crucified. And so are our mothers. Oh, I realize we're not tortured and crucified, but when things go wrong, when we have problems, it hurts our moms very much. Whenever you see the mob attacking someone, regardless of the reason, keep in mind that person has a mother. And she is heartbroken at the way her child is being treated. I always thought of that when I go to ball games. You know, you see the kids out there playing football, and everybody gets so worked up and so involved, whether it's football, baseball, soccer, whatever. And somebody does something wrong, and the crowd starts booing them and just really trashing them. And I always thought, you know, his mom is sitting in this crowd. We shouldn't do that. We had a head coach, athletic director one time, and I remember him saying so very well. We didn't always get along, but on this point I had to agree with him. He said, at the end of the day, football, high school football in particular, is a group of kids playing a game, and we need to understand it as a group of kids playing a game and not get too serious about it. Of course, he always got too serious about it, but at least he made the statement, right? Mary was there, and her heart broke. I cannot imagine the pain and the grief that Mary went through seeing her child suffer. Not only that, she knew he wasn't guilty. She knew who he was and what he was. She believed in him, and there he was, going through such pain. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. This is our scripture. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. Jesus took care of his mother in the moments before he died, going through all of the pain and all of the suffering of the cross, understanding all that was happening to him. If you read the narrative right after this, he said, I thirst. And they gave him vinegar basically on a sponge. And after that, he said, it's finished, and he gave up the ghost. Right in the apex of his suffering and of the pain and of all of the bad things he was going through, he looked down and he took care of his mother. We ought to take care of mom. There ought to be a place for mom. It is important. In that frame, we need to understand some things. Especially, I think, men. Men, your wife is not your mother. She's your wife. You need to treat your mother differently than you do your wife. I see men who get married and come Mother's Day, they just go over the top doing things for their wife, and they don't even call mom and say Happy Mother's Day. Your wife is not your mother. You need to take care of your mother. And on the same hand, I see men sometimes who are so tethered to their mother that they don't pay attention or they ignore their wife. Your mother is not your wife either. Get those two straight. Jesus, as he was dying, as he was about to leave this world, he looked down and he said, I need to take care of mother. And John was the disciple. It is widely accepted that John, who has written this gospel, was also the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so he said to John, this is mom. Take care of her for the rest of her life. There are some things about John that we need to know. John was one of Jesus' closest disciples. He was present for some of the critical moments of Jesus' time on earth. He witnessed the transfiguration when Jesus went up on the mountain and his raiment glowed and he talked with Moses and Elias and he appeared as God. John was there. John was there when Jesus did his miracles. John was always present. Sometimes he got a little overzealous. John was the one when a village wouldn't take them in. He said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire and have this village destroyed? And Jesus kind of said, say, back up a little. Let's not try to kill anybody just because they told us they didn't want us here. Right? But John loved Jesus dearly. John was the only disciple that is recorded at the crucifixion. Everybody else had scattered. Everybody else had panicked. Peter had cursed and denied Jesus. Everybody had gone every way. John was there. John was very close to Jesus. And for that reason, Jesus said, this is now your mother. And to Mary, this is your son. Take care of them. It is important that we recognize and appreciate and care for our mother. You know, the Bible says, and this is one of those scriptures that I'm often reminded of, he that provides not for his own, and particularly they of his own household, hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Don't claim to be righteous, to be a good Christian person, and leave your mother without any support or without any help. We don't need to do that. You know, one of the things we need to understand, we will be reunited with our mothers someday, with all of our family. Mine passed away 12 years ago, and I think of her often. But I don't mourn for my mother. I did for a period, I'll be honest. When she first died, there was mourning. There is normally, naturally, a time of mourning. But I'll see Mother again, and I don't worry about it. I don't concern myself with that again. I will see her. If you look forward to the day when you'll be reunited with your mother, let me tell you the most important thing you can do. Make sure that your heart and your life is right with God. Come to an altar and get your soul straight. Be covered by the blood of Jesus and put your faith and trust in Him. If you love your mother, if you want to support your mother, get your life right with God. Please stand.